Thank you. Welcome and good evening. It is good to see you. It is good to see the warm and brave souls that ventured out on a very cold Christmas Eve. It is our delight to gather here and think back over 2,000 years ago when our God and Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be born as a baby, to take on human flesh and live in this world and then give his life as a ransom for many. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are thankful. Thankful for the gift of your Son. Thankful for the gift of your love. Thankful for the gift of mercy and grace and, oh, so many more blessings that come to us, Father. Tonight I ask that you would receive our praise as an offering, as a gift unto you, not an attempt to repay, but simply to offer our praise, our adoration to you who are faithful and we who are blessed by that faithfulness. Come now, Father, let your light shine brightly on us this night, in Jesus' name, amen. I love lights, lots of lights. Natural light's the best. It's why I like lots of windows. If it were somehow possible, I would knock out the wall behind me and put in big windows there just to let in the light. It's not because I'm afraid of the dark. It's just if I walk into a dark room, well, any of you who are my age or older realize that darkness is no longer your friend with your vision. So you like light. Well-lit, warmly lit room or space brings comfort to many of us. Some of you remember years ago when the Crystal Cathedral was built in Southern California, an albatross from the very start, but they got one thing right. Made out of all of this protective glass, it let in lots of light. Christmas is oftentimes called a holiday of lights, and you see them nearly everywhere, even here throughout our building and our sanctuary. Why is that? You suppose that the world puts up lights at Christmas time? Because it all centers on that one who came that very first Christmas morn, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. There were lights prior to his birth. There were candles, there were lanterns, and so much more. This evening, as we are gathered here, I've been building this up a little bit just with the children in our children's sermons on Lord's Day Sunday mornings, calling it the light before Christmas. And now we are here on Christmas Eve when that light does indeed come into the world. So that's going to be part of our theme for the evening. We need to remember Jesus. Yes, that babe born to Joseph and Mary. Yes, the Jesus who was announced by angels to those shepherds on the hills where they were guarding their sheep. Yes, remember Jesus, whose very name means Savior. Remember him, but do not leave him in the manger this night, or tomorrow, or the day after that, or ever. Make sure that in your mind's eye he grows quickly. Make sure you see him as a man, walking and sleeping and being with people, sitting down to eat with them, and then hear him speak and preach and teach. And listen closely, even as God commanded us. To listen to him so that we don't miss a word. And then see him as Emmanuel, God with us. So in our moments together, we're going to consider the light of the world tonight, one of those great I am statements that Jesus uttered and John recorded in his gospel. So I will hear this light that he declares is so needed and so desperately important. And then let's pray that the light doesn't stop shining tonight, that we take that light of the world with us as we go. Would you take those orders of service? I hope you picked one up as you came in because the responsive readings are going to be included there. And I'm going to lead us now as we come and ask Christ himself to come. Would you read responsively with me? Praise to Christ. Praise to him who comes, who has come, who is coming, who will come again. But But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. Give praise, praise to him who comes, who has come, who is coming, who will come again. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Now, let's sing. Would you stand as we sing the first Noel?
Wherever it went, nowhere, nowhere. said the night wind to the little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy,
do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy. With a voice as big as the sea, said the shepherd boy to the mighty king,
do you know what,
do you
I,
know
know?
What I know? In your palace warm, mighty king,
do you know what,
do
I,
you know
know?
What I know? A child, a child shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace. People everywhere, listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Bring
In John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, we hear this from Jesus. And again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When we study the scriptures, it's really a very simple process. You can go verse by verse, phrase by phrase, word by word, if you wish, and you just simply break it down and say, what did Jesus say? What did John mean? Who was John writing to? And so forth. You show the connection with the verses that surround it, the context that's there. That's where it gets its meaning, not from anywhere else. And once you start to see that, you see the interconnection with so much of the rest of Scripture. Jesus says here, I am. I am. I am God, is what he is saying. Jesus is emphasizing his relationship with his heavenly Father, even as he speaks to these people who are living in the darkness. At least 7 times, Jesus will refer to his relationship with the Father. Jesus does not claim some kind of human authority, even the very highest of human authorities. No. He says by those 2 words, I am, at least in our English language, I speak from God, for God. In fact, I speak as God. he claims is I am, Yahweh in the Hebrew. There's no uncertainty about his claim. That comes about abundantly clear when he says later on in verse 24 of this same chapter, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And then just a little bit later on, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Our English has to provide that singular pronoun, otherwise it just sounds wrong. But they didn't need it. They knew full well what Jesus was saying when he said, I am. I am. Their response to this claim, the Jewish response, and there's always two primary responses when Jesus speaks. You cannot remain neutral about Jesus the Christ. Either you will receive him and believe upon his name, or you will reject him, much to your everlasting peril. And it happens here, because we have John giving us the antagonist's response. After he says that he's the light of the world, the Pharisees said to him, you're bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Verse 19, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. And then finally, in verse 52, he says, they say this, now we know that you have a demon. Now you know their response to the great I am of Jesus Christ. But there are some who are given eyes to see. Many are given the gift of repentance and faith from the Father. Even in verse 30, Jesus said, and as he was saying this, many believed. Jesus said, I am. Jesus is God. And that is an absolute essential truth for the Christian faith. This little one that we celebrate his birth and being born in a manger, he's God. He is God in the flesh. You cannot be a Christian and deny that Jesus is God. It's why Jehovah's Witnesses are not true Christians. It's why Mormons are not true Christians. It's why so many who somehow want to claim that title of Christian are not, because they do not believe that Jesus the Christ is God. This same John who's recording Jesus' words in this gospel will write a letter later on to a church, and he said, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, confesses the Son has the Father also. What is your response to Jesus' claim? I am. Do you believe it? Do you receive it as the truth? Or do you reject it? Do you deny it and say it can't be true? We'll hear more from the great I am in a few moments.
How do you capture the wind on the water? How do you count all the stars in the sky? How do you measure the love of a mother? Or how can you write down a baby's first cry? Candlelight, angel light, firelight and star glow, shine on his cradle till breaking of dawn. Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo, angels are singing, the Christ child is born. Shepherds and wise men will kneel and adore him. Seraphim round him their vigil will keep. Nations proclaim him their Lord and their Savior, but Mary will hold him sing him to sleep. Candlelight, angel light, firelight and star glow, shine on his cradle till breaking of dawn. Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo, angels are singing, the Christ child is born. Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo, angels are singing, the Christ child is born. Angels are singing, the Christ child is born.
Isaac, thank you for singing. I was told Maddie. Maybe we'll squeeze something out of you later. Oh, praise God. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. The light of the world. I don't know if you've ever pondered. Why would Jesus make such a declaration? I mean, if I were to have walked up here this evening and welcomed you and declared, I am the light, you'd all think I'd finally gone over the edge, flipped my wig, gone crazy, and gone home, and deservedly so. Well, even if Jesus would have just stood up for no apparent reason, these Jewish people thought the same thing, and for good reason. I am the light of the world, Jesus declares. There's context here, historical and actual. Historically, Jesus is uttering this during what is called the Feast of Tabernacles. You could go back into John chapter 7 and read some of that description. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles was one of those Old Testament feasts commanded to be observed annually because of their time as God's people as they wandered in the wilderness. You may recall one of those episodes when they were thirsty and Moses struck the rock to give water to the people. That was a time to remember. Jesus draws upon this imagery in chapter 7 before he gets to this declaration when he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. That'll stir things up because they know exactly what it is that he's saying, that he is water of life. But there's one other ceremony that helps conclude this gathering, this remembrance, this feast. Don't you love feasts, festivals? This feast was to help them remember who it was.
It was God who had done this. As a pillar of cloud by day and as a pillar of fire, light by night. At night of the last day of this feast, it was in the courtyard of women in the temple area. There would have been four large, huge pillars that would have been lit, seemingly to light up all of Jerusalem with its light. Each one gradually gets extinguished, and then there was one central one that remains, the longest, and then that would finally be put out. It's to signify that the Messiah has not yet come. But it's most likely that at that moment that Jesus announces, I am the light of the world. The pronouncement is so clear, no one of them should have been able to miss it. I am the Messiah, the one sent from God. He is the light. He is the one who guides through the wilderness of our lives. He is God. I told you I love lights. I love natural light. I love other kinds of lights. When we lived in Fargo years ago and our oldest daughter was quite young, she would love it this time of year when we would drive around the city of Fargo and show her all the houses that were decorated with, and as a four-year-old could only say, the Blinky Whites. Have you seen this light, though? The light of the world in Jesus Christ, the true light. Has it pierced the dark recesses of your heart and your mind? Has it exposed your need of a Savior? Has it drawn you to itself like a moth to the flame? But rather than destroying you, this light gives you life. Have you looked to that life and has it done that? Come to the light to shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Let's stand and sing again, shall we? Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal decree. But of lowly birth didst thou come to earth, and in great humility. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Thou camest, O Lord, with the living word, that but with mocking scorn and with crown of thorn, they bore thee to Calvary. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
Be seated. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Will not walk in darkness. How is that possible? How could this be? What could bring this about? What glory, what wonder should even deign to shine upon us that this light of the world would not leave us in darkness? John recorded, as Jesus would have told him about it, as he met with one of these Jewish leaders by night. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Light is one of these recurring themes for the Apostle John, not just because Jesus used the imagery so much in his gospel, but even later in his letters. Light is a recurring theme with John because it was a recurring theme with Jesus. And yet men hate this light. We often do not dwell on that on Christmas Eve.
We love the warm, fuzzy sentimentality that comes with thinking of a newborn child, especially in the context and surroundings in which Jesus was born. But when men would discover that that babe would grow to be and declare, "I am the light of the world," they would hate him. Why? Why? How could you hate a baby? Because his light will expose their darkness of their hearts, of their minds, of their lives. We don't like darkness either, though, do we? Darkness of loneliness, of a unsure or frightening future, of perhaps some miscarriage of justice. We hate the despair of depravity, of lost loves, or of broken hearts. And yet sinful man hates the light more than he hates his own darkness. You see that in the response again to Jesus' claim, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." The Pharisees despise him. The scribes hate him. They all disbelieve him. They mock him. They continue to plot together how they can get rid of him and eventually how they can kill him because of such statements as, "I am the light of the world." They know full well what Jesus is claiming. They don't dispute that. What they dispute is that it could even be true for them, that he could be the light of their life and world. They know that if he is truly the Messiah, that what they need to do is leave everything and follow him. That's his singular command to be a disciple. Give up yourself and follow me. They must give up their power base. Ooh. They must give up their influence. Ooh. They must give up their success, as modicum amounts it would have been in. And they must follow him entirely, completely, heart, soul, mind, strength. They can't do it. They can't do it because they hate the light. They love the darkness. And it says that they picked up stones to throw at him. This darkness has made them blind. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." Well, there it is. Without Christ, you walk in darkness. It doesn't matter how many lights you turn on in your home or wherever you may be. We walk in darkness. It is our sinful state. Our desires, our thoughts, the motives of our heart. This darkness is within each one of us. It doesn't come simply from outside of us in the world's influence, although that can be very strong. Jesus confronts this as he goes on from this particular statement, especially in those so-called religious leaders. In verse 22, they show and reveal that they really don't have a clue what he's talking about. When Jesus said that he will have to die, he says, "Will he kill himself since he says, 'Where I'm going, you cannot come'?" He shows the darkness of death is upon them. They're like lifelike figurines of animals. Now, none of you, when you came in tonight, if you looked out at the nativity scene in the entryway, looked at that little donkey that's curled up there and thought, "Oh, that's real." No, it's lifelike, but it's lifeless. Later in this same chapter, Jesus is going to highlight the bondage this darkness has those who reject him, who despise him, who hate him, the bondage they are in. It's like chains that have them so bound up, and they do not have a key. But even as he tells them this, it's almost as if they've got this glazed over look in their eye. It's like me if you start to talk about numbers in accounting. They're slaves to sin. And yet they're quick to respond, "We've never been slaves." And Jesus, without having to say a word, with his look and his words before that, says, "Yes, even now you are. And the darkness blinds you to your bondage, to your slavery. But whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." Darkness is no more. By receiving Jesus Christ as this light. By believing who he is, there is no more darkness that can harm you, frighten you, hold you, blind you. It has been shattered. The eyes of your heart are given sight, and you see that he is God. He is the very Son of God. He is the Savior God has sent to rescue me, to deliver me, to die in my place. And now the darkness is gone. The blind see, the dead walk. You have this light of life within you by following, trusting, loving, believing upon Jesus Christ. Remember at this feast that's been going on, Jesus would have said, whoever drinks from me, there will be rivers of life that flow from you. And so here he says, see my light, and you will have that same light shining from you to others to light up their darkness, to expose it, and hopefully have them come and embrace the light. When you hear these words and you came hoping just to hear the story about a little baby born, does it bother you? Do you not like hearing such truths? Do you cringe at Jesus' call and commands? Do you keep on sneaking around with your life, hoping that you're not exposed too much by the light, but you can still live in your darkness, hoping that maybe not even God will see you? The call is here for you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This little one who was born is the light of the world. Come into the darkness. The call is there for you. Forsake the darkness. Come to Jesus. See his light and live. Would you stand again and let's sing. Of this town in which he was born, the city of David, O little town of Bethlehem. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Life. It's precious when a child is born. We rejoice in that. But life is far more than simply the beginning from being born and breathing and hearts beating and all that comes with it. The life that Jesus speaks about here, the life that he came to bring to us, the reason he was born was that he might bring us life. Because we needed it. We are dead in our trespasses and sins in which we once walked according to the course of this world, following the sons of disobedience, under that horrible influence of the prince of the power of the air, fulfilling all of the dark desires and thoughts and deeds that come to mind in our heart. We live in bondage to our sinful desires. We are in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, however. And he's come to make you see and to live. How fitting is it? How appropriate, how perfectly marvelous that God took on human flesh so that he might dwell with the likes of us. He truly is Emmanuel, God with us. He was a newborn infant, the beginning of life on this earth for every creature, especially humans. But this light grew to be a man, and this light got killed by his own people. They put him in a dark tomb. And do you think that could hold the light? No, it could not. This light could not stay hidden by Satan's scheme or the darkness of death or the hatred of man. He burst forth on that marvelous first resurrection Sunday morning. Celebrating Christmas forces us, it must make us think of Resurrection Sunday. But any of you who are regular here at Albion and know I've begun to preach from the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you know full well you don't stop there. You keep looking on down the road through time as God permits us in his word to see that light that continues to shine and that light that will come in all of its burning holiness and radiance once again. But there was that light. Seemingly snuffed out, put in a dark, dank cave in a rock and sealed shut. And then it burst forth every bit as much as that little baby burst forth from Mary's womb and the light of that star declared, this is from God. He was raised to new life. And it is this life that he offers to you and to me. It's not your best life now. Don't ever buy that lie. If you follow him, you'll not walk in darkness, but you will bear the reproach and hatred and suffering that comes with having that name upon you. Maybe the book should be rewritten and given a new title. Your best life is yet to come. When that light re-enters this dark world and shines so brightly, the darkness is simply gone. That's the life he offers to you and to me with the light that he is. All you need do is receive it. Some of you may have already started some of your Christmas celebrations. Ours will start later in the week when our children and grandchildren arrive. Think how awful it would be of all those gifts that you prepared to give to your family members, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, and so forth. And they took them and then they just set them aside. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift of God's love that he could ever manifest. And he came, and while we were still sinners, he died for us. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Once you receive that light, and as you follow him, what you end up doing is letting his light shine from you like a city on a hill. Let's adore him this Christ of Christmas. Take that handout that you have there, and there's another responsive reading that we're going to go through. Come, let us adore him. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Come, let us adore him. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Come, let us adore him. Let us adore him. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Come, let us adore him. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Would you stand again? And those men of old sang with great hearts filled with gladness and delight. Let's sing along with them. As with gladness, men of old, would you stand and let's sing.
With joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious Lord, may we evermore be led to thee. As with joyful steps they sped to that lowly manger bed, there to bend the knee before him who heaven and earth adore. With willing feet ever be the mercy seat. As they offered gifts of rare at that manger rude and bare, so may we with holy joy, pure and free from sin's alloy, all our costliest treasures bring, Christ to thee, our heavenly King.
You may be seated. We come to that time in this service that I'm fairly certain I could say is maybe the favorite part for almost all of you. It's why we call it a candle lighting service, is because we come and we light the candles. Well, after looking at John 8 verse 12, I don't think I have to give you any clues as to the symbolism of lighting these candles. On this, the final night of Advent and of Jesus' birth, we take the four candles and we light the center candle, the Christ candle, as it symbolizes. And we'll take that light from Christ and spread it through each one of us. Now, granted, given the windy conditions outside, you can't take your candles outside and take them with you. They'll be extinguished quickly. But that's not the point, is it? Because the light that you have because of Jesus Christ can never be blown out. It must shine, and may it shine through each one of us gladly as well. So let's prepare. I'm going to make sure that...
Thank you.
to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon thee. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
As Kyle turns the lights back on and you are dismissed, I pray that you will greet one another in the name of that one who is indeed the light of the world. That tomorrow morning you'll remember, yes, it's Christmas. It's also the Lord's Day.
Amen.
And let's honor our Lord on His day as we celebrate His birth here at 10 tomorrow morning. And then as you gather or go, whatever your plans are, may God bless you. May you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Heavenly Father, and the joyous fellowship of His Holy Spirit. In His name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. God bless you all.